If you've got your Bible, if you could turn to Psalm 23. We'll read it in a minute. It's an incredibly well-known scripture. I said last time, I was on a sabbatical a few years ago and had all these grand plans of books that I would read and study that I would do and diving into some of these academic commentaries on all kinds of stuff. And I did a bit of that, but probably one of the most transformative and powerful things was every day for 11 weeks, just reading this psalm and dwelling in it and meditating on it and chewing it and imagining it and allowing myself to be one of the sheep by still waters or whatever it was, and just letting the words of scripture do something deep and powerful and transformative. And that probably changed me more than anything else. And I was amazed that here's this incredibly familiar psalm to me and maybe to many of us that I've read and heard and thought about on a number of occasions. But actually, when we take the time to dwell and allow the scriptures to do something in our hearts, it changes us. And it changed me. And so, just beginning of June, we looked at the first of three images that I want to look at, and we'll do the second one today and the final one next Sunday. Three images, just using this psalm in a very kind of devotional way, as it were, to offer these three images to us, to think a little bit about what does maturity look like? Maturity for us as individuals, maturity for us perhaps as a community. And so last week we looked at life has its knocks. And the key phrase that I was drawing out of this first image was, he restores my soul. Let's read the psalm first, and then I'll just give a quick summary of last time and go in. So I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or it could be translated the valley of deep darkness, even though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So last time, this is a psalm of trust. It's a declaration of trust in the Lord, and we looked at he restores my soul. Life has its knocks. People hurt us. Disappointment comes our way. Drivenness and competition are our bread. Exhaustion and cynicism grips our soul. Heartache and pain are our companions. And yet, these things don't have to define us, because he restores our soul. He leads us by still waters. He makes us lie down in green pastures. The choice is ours. Will we allow him to lead us, or will he make us lie down in green pastures, to be led or made? So maturity, said last time, begins with him restoring our soul, not characterized by hurt or reactivity or cynicism or disappointment or bitterness or anger, but he restores our soul by those still waters or green pastures. So today I want us to think about the second picture that we see here in the psalm, which starts at verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest of valleys, or the valley of deep darkness, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. That's enough, says the psalmist, because you are with me. Even though I walk through the darkest, deepest valleys, I will not fear, because it's enough that you are with me. Wow. Life not only has its knocks, but it has its hard and difficult seasons. And sometimes it seems as though we're walking through the darkest of valleys. Sometimes it seems as though there is so little light and hope. Sometimes it might seem like life or an aspect of life is overwhelming. The challenges, the difficulties, the heartache, the pain. And in those times, so often, what we hope for is to be rescued from the darkness. Don't we? I do, if I'm honest. When life comes and it just feels so dark, it feels like there is no light, there is no hope, or there are aspects of our lives that are so difficult and painful. What we hope for is so often God to come and lift us up out of that darkness. Lift us up out of those pits of despair. Enter into the mess of our lives, the brokenness, the need to heal, deliver, protect, set us free, and all that kind of stuff. And so often we long for that. And we see in the scriptures that that happens. There's this fantastic psalm in Psalm 103 where there is this declaration of trust that God will deliver from the pit of despair. So the psalmist goes here, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Forget not all, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then he reels off, here's what faith and trust in God can do. Here are all the benefits: who forgives your iniquity, he heals your diseases, he redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy and satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, which of us does not want that when we are in the midst of darkness and despair and hope and pain and anguish? Come on, which one of us do not want God to do that? And there is that as a promise. We see the kingdom breaking in to our lives now. We see healing and deliverance. And I would love to see so much more of that. I'd love to see God breaking in and changing our lives and doing that. And so there is that aspect of the kingdom that is coming to us right now, that we don't yet enter into the fullness of the kingdom, but we see the kingdom breaking in now, and we are encouraged to pray that. When Jesus encourages us to pray, he says, "Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Let's bring the will of God in heaven onto earth right now. Let the kingdom come right now. So we are encouraged to pray for that. And I would love to see more of that happen in our lives. And isn't it great when somebody stands up and says, do you know, here was the pit of despair that I was in. This was the situation that I was in, and God delivered me. That's fantastic. But it's not what we see in this psalm. And I want to suggest that this picture that we see in the psalm is just as much a picture of trust as God delivering us from the pit, as God healing our diseases, as God satisfying us with all good things. This is just as much a picture of trust, because even though I walk through the darkest of valleys, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Sometimes God delivers us from the darkest of valleys. Sometimes God comes and he heals and he changes and he delivers and he sets us free, or he changes the circumstances. Whatever it is that is the dark valley that we happen to be in, sometimes God does that. But sometimes God just says, I will walk with you through this dark valley. I am with you, and that is enough. His rod and his staff, they comfort us as he walks with us through the darkness. The shepherd had two things that he carried with him. One was a rod, one was a staff. A rod was a piece of wood, I think, with a kind of end bit, like round end bit. And a staff with the kind of crooked bit. And the rod, one of the primary things that the rod did was to protect. It was to beat away the wild animals and bears and wolves or whatever else it was, maybe even a lion. It was to beat away the wild animals, to protect the sheep from all the things that would come and attack them as they walked wherever it was. And here the psalmist is declaring his trust that God's rod will protect the sheep, him, as he walks through this darkest of valleys. The other thing the rod sometimes did was to give the sheep a little nudge. Come on, you're getting a little bit close to the edge here, this way. The staff was to guide the sheep, to get the hooked bit around the neck and guide the sheep in the right path. So God's protection and God's guidance is a comfort to the psalmist as he walks through the darkest of valleys, because you are with me. Your presence is enough in the midst of the darkness. It's enough. Now, if I'm honest, most of my experience is I'm not sure that that's my testimony. The reality is, what I want is God to deliver me from the darkness. But what the psalmist declares is, you are with me, and that is enough. I remember at one particular really difficult season of my life, somebody said that they felt Psalm 46 was particularly relevant for me, and particularly verse 10, I think it is, of Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. And so they said, this particular verse, just as I've been praying for you, feel that this verse is particularly relevant for you, Rupert. Little did they realize that however many years on That verse still niggles away and eats at me and encourages me and challenges me. Because if you look at the context of Psalm 46, it's actually about massive upheaval. Earthquakes and floods and all kinds of environmental stuff that's going on, and the nations at war. The nations raging against one another. You get this picture of incredible turmoil and upheaval and all kinds of stuff that's going on around, and yet, right in the middle of it, be still. Be still. In the middle of all this incredible activity and pain and upheaval and turmoil and everything else that's going on in the nations and in the world around, there is an encouragement and an invitation to come and be still and know that I am God. For I will be exalted in the nations. And there is a place in the midst of all the turmoil, in the midst of all the upheaval, in the midst of all the warfare and the raging and everything else that's going on, there is a place of stillness with God where we know Him in the midst of everything else that's going on. Now that place, I think, is amazing and incredibly difficult to find. Because what happens is my mind starts going at a million miles an hour, just like all the turmoil that's going on around me. I'm thinking and my emotions are all in upheaval and turmoil, and to come to that place of stillness in the midst of everything else that's going on around me, I think is an incredibly difficult place. But there is a place of peace in the midst of turmoil where we just know God. And that is enough. And I think that's what the psalmist in Psalm 23 is saying. In the midst of the darkest of valleys, in the midst of those times which are so painful, so much turmoil, so much heartache, so difficult seasons that we are walking through, there is a place where His presence is enough. And I am learning to still myself in the midst of everything else that is going on, to be with God in that place where the circumstances and everything else may not change, but I am changed because I've been with God. And that is enough. When we face the darkness of the world around us, when we face the darkness in our own hearts, then the fear of the darkness begins to dissipate. I will fear no evil. When we faced the darkness and we know how to journey through the dark seasons of life, and they will come. When we know how to journey through those dark seasons, the pain, the turmoil, the travail, when we know how to journey through them with God, because He is with us, then the fear of the darkness begins to dissipate. And my experience is I begin to loosen my commitment to comfort. I'm quite committed to comfort. I suspect I'm not the only one. But the fear of the darkness just begins to ebb away a little bit because we've journeyed through this valley, this deep, dark valley, and we know that God has been with us. And we know that he is enough and he is sufficient, and his rod and his staff, his protection and his guidance can help me navigate through this dark valley. And actually, I can get out the other end and I'm okay. In fact, more than I'm okay, I'm transformed and changed. It's been a transformative and changing experience. And somehow, having done that once, we begin to fear the darkness just a little bit less. I will fear no evil. And then we begin to grow up, not fearing the loss or the pain or the loneliness or the emptiness quite as much as we have done in the past, for we have a story, we have a testimony that he is with us in such times, and he will be again in the future. The darkness is okay because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We're moving towards maturity. And this, I think, is part of our calling as a community. It's to be a community of people who know how to journey with God, who know how to journey through the different seasons of life and faith, and how to walk and accompany others through that season and those journeys, that journey and those seasons of life. And one of the things that I see here is the need for wisdom. One of the things when I come and pray more than anything else, and perhaps one of the things I need more than anything else, particularly as a father, is wisdom. It's like, Lord, you have wisdom. You are so wise, and I need your wisdom. And here is the wisdom that I think we need, and I think we're called to as a community, that God does deliver us from the pit, and God does walk with us through the dark valleys. And in any and every situation, we need the wisdom to know which one it is. We need the wisdom to know what God is doing. Is he inviting us to trust him to deliver us from this pit? Or is he inviting us to walk with him through this darkness? What is he doing? I have some friends of mine who were told they couldn't have children. Medically impossible. But they felt God say, you will have your own biological children. So they went and bought all the maternity and young, early years child stuff they needed. They put it in a drawer. They bought it as a step of faith and trust that this was something God would deliver them from. They now have two beautiful young girls who are 14 and 12, who were miracles. Total miracles. Biologically impossible. But they took that step of faith, and they would open the drawer and they would pray for God to deliver them from the pit, because that was the word of God to them. I know other families who have journeyed through being unable to have children and have adopted. And it is a miracle. It is a real path of journeying, of trust and faith in God that is extraordinary. That has been the path that they have had to walk. And it's been their path of trust and faith that God would walk with them through the darkest of valleys. There has not been, in a sense, a miraculous change of the biological factors in their lives. But God has been with them, and their testimony is just as powerful. It's just as strong. It's just as amazing. It's just as much faith and trust as this other friend's who have these two biological daughters. The wisdom is to know which one. That's what we need, right? That's what I find difficult. God, is this something you're calling me to journey through? Or is this something you're calling me to trust you to deliver me from? Which one is it? That's the wisdom when I'm with someone else. God, what are you saying to this person here? Is this something that we are to journey with them through the darkness? Or is this something you will deliver them from? And I think we're called as a community to hold both of those together. I think we're called as a community to have the wisdom to discern what God is doing and walk with people in the deliverance from and in the walking through. That's what I want to see. That's what I think God wants us to see. That's the kind of community that I think he is calling us to be happy and willing to live with the paradoxes, the paradox that God does both of those things, and both of those things require an enormous amount of faith and trust. So I want to see God deliver. I'd love to see more of that happen. But I'd also love to see us walk well with people through the darkest of valleys and to discern which it is that God is doing. And there's something in this psalm which I see as key, a kind of key value, if you like, of who we are as a community. I loved last Sunday. Chris, I know you were bigging up Jake last Sunday. But you did a fantastic job last Sunday too. Just found it very moving. Thinking about all of us and our dreams, our outrageous dreams. He's asking, what are our dreams? And an encouragement for us to pursue them. And Colin Hewitt stood up right at the end and he said, this is what we're about. This is what we're about. And here, in this image of walking through the darkest of valleys, there's something of a key value for us of empowerment and the freedom for people to choose and the respect of that choice. And what I love about this image of God walking with people through their darkest of valleys with the rod and the staff to protect and guide is something about helping people walk through their journey of life on their own, with their own choices, but we are with them. It's not on their own, but it's their journey to walk. One of the things that I have wanted more than anything else sometimes over the last 20 years, as I sat with people and they've talked about their darkest of valleys, and maybe one or two of you will recognize this, but I've wanted a magic wand. I really have. I really wanted a wand where I could wave that wand and make it better for people. In the midst of their pain and heartache and difficulty, I've wished I could have a magic wand and make it better. But do you know, now I'm so glad I haven't. Because I'm learning that I would have robbed them of their journey to walk. And out of my immature and some compassion, <laughs> that journey through the darkest of valleys is so important that we learn how to walk that. To respect and allow people to do that, and it's their journey to walk. I can't walk that for them, and nor can I stop them. I think it's probably the hardest thing about being a parent. And those of you that are a bit further along the journey will probably know this. But the heartache of seeing your children going through difficult things and thinking, I can't do anything about this, or I shouldn't do anything about this. I was walking down the street the other day with the two boys, and there was a P7 that came along and started taunting one of my boys. Do you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go and knock his block off. I really did. It's like, how dare you do that to one of my kids? How dare you do that? But I can't protect them from that pain. I have to walk with them through that pain. Because it's the only way they'll learn. When I'm not there, how to walk through that themselves. And one of my boys said, you know, it's okay, Dad. I'm just learning to laugh about it. I'm like, wow. Don't we all have to learn that? When people are rude or horrible, just sometimes just to laugh, let it go. And so I'm recognizing that my magic wand or my fist may not be the best way of approaching life and helping other people through their difficult seasons. But we are called to walk with them. Because here's the deal. I think it is in the places where we have experienced the most pain and heartache and brokenness and turmoil that are often the places that God will bring the most hope and light and life to others as he uses us. It's in those places where we have failed and flunked, of heartache and pain, that his presence will flow to other people to bring hope and life. And if we rob people of walking through those darkest of valleys, we potentially rob them of their places of greatest contribution and hope and life in giving to other people. So we respect the journey that people are on. We respect the choices that they make, even when we think they're making silly choices. Yes, we guide. Yes, we might challenge a bit. Yes, we might poke and provoke a little bit with the rod. But in the end, that journey is for someone else to walk down. And we cheer them on, like Chris was doing last week. Because that journey will be a resource, source of wisdom, life and hope to other people. So, I'm done. So today, in a minute, we're going to take bread and wine. Malcolm's going to lead us through that. Is that okay? Today, if you are in a deep, dark valley, is this something that God is going to deliver you from? Or is this something that God will walk with you through? What is God saying to you? Do you need to buy the maternity clothes, put them in a drawer, pray, and trust God, as it were, for whatever situation it is that you're in? Do something as an act of faith that God will deliver you from? Or is there something where God will walk with you through? And in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the turmoil and the anguish, or whatever it is that you're in, can we see the presence of God who is with us? Can we come to a place where his presence with us is enough, even if the circumstances around us don't change? And I think we have an opportunity, as we take bread and wine, to recognize the presence of God with us in the midst of the darkness. Maybe you're not in a dark valley. Maybe you've never been in a dark valley. Maybe today is just a heads up that it will come. I kind of hope it's not news to you. But when it comes, there are others that have been through dark valleys. We may not have been through your dark valley, but there is some wisdom and is some experience that many of us have learned through walking and journeying through dark valleys. And we're up for walking with you. We're trying to help discern, is this something that God is calling you to walk through or to deliver you from? But it's part of journeying through life and journeying through faith. And that's what we do as a community together. Or maybe you know someone who is in a dark valley. And I wonder today what it is that God is saying to them. Is this something to be delivered from, and we need to stand with them? That God would deliver them from this dark place? Or is this something that they are journeying through, and therefore we are called to accompany them through that dark valley?